quiet. Come close now. Closer. You'll need to be quiet for this one. Even the wind is holding its breath. This is the place, the lair, where the Gorgons sleep. Not a castle, not a temple, just a cave carved by time and salt and something older than fear. The path leading in is littered with shapes, figures frozen mid-step, mid-scream, mid-breath. They aren't statues. They used to be people, men, beasts. Once a bird caught mid-flight. They shimmer with dust and time, and if you look too long at them, you feel something stir behind your eyes. A warning. Perseus did not look, not directly. He kept his eyes low, his breath shallow. The helm on his head made him vanish from the world, but not from himself. He could still hear, could still feel the heat rise off the stone, could still smell blood, faint and old, clinging to the air like a story too terrible to forget. He stepped carefully. Sandals kissed the ground without sound. Every breath was a thread pulled tighter. Even I did not follow him too closely. Some places want to be left alone. You see, this wasn't just a monster's den. It was a scar in the world, a sacred, poisoned place. Not because of what she had become, but because of what had been done to her. Even the gods looked away from this place, but not Perseus. He went in, shield drawn, eyes averted, every part of him coiled for what came next. Do you feel it? That stillness just before something breaks? Good, hold it, we're going in. Inside, the air thickens, not with heat or scent, no. It thickens the way silence does, when it becomes something you can taste. The cave stretched wider than it should have, as if the world had given them more space than they needed. Not out of generosity, but fear. There were no torches, no bones, no gold piled in corners, just stone and shadow and the sound of slow breathing. Three of them, Stheno, Uriel, Medusa, the sisters. Perseus did not speak, didn't dare. He crept, shield out, eyes fixed not ahead but down, using the reflection to see. Even the snakes he watched indirectly. Stheno slept nearest the wall, claws folded like a lion at rest. Uriel's head lolled back as she exhaled, her chest rising in long tidal rhythms. But Medusa, she lay at the center as if the cave itself had formed around her. She did not look monstrous. She looked like someone still dreaming of what she used to be. The snakes that crowned her head curled in their sleep, twitching faintly as if chasing memories of movement. Her skin was smooth, pale, her face soft, almost too soft for the story. She was beautiful once, and maybe still. That's what made it worse. Perseus inched forward, muscles locked, breath shallow. His eyes never touched her directly, only through the shield's surface, warped and silvery. Even then, he felt the edge of her. It's easy to call something a monster when you never have to see it sleeping, when you never have to ask, what made her this? I watched him move, slow and sure, like a shadow chasing its own breath. And I wondered, as I always do, if she knew. If, in the deep dark of sleep, some small part of her felt it coming. Because the snakes began to stir. Not loudly, not all at once, just a hiss, a shift, the sense of something about to wake. And Perseus, he didn't freeze, he didn't tremble. He lowered into a crouch, raised the shield, and began to turn the blade. Shall I show you what happened next? It comes quickly. Hold your breath. Perseus didn't speak. He didn't pray. He didn't shout. He only watched her, not with his eyes, but with the shields. She shifted in her sleep, her brow furrowed, the snakes sensing something, lifted, tongues flicking, heads weaving in slow warning. But it was too late. He saw her face in the mirror, just once, her eyes opening. Confused, not afraid, not yet. And then, the cut. One breath, one clean, practiced motion. The blade met the flesh just above her collarbone, and everything stopped. Not sound, not time. Something deeper. Her mouth opened, not to scream, just to breathe. One last time. She saw her death, reflected back at her, and then the light in her eyes went out. Her head fell. Snakes shrieked, some dying, some still alive. Blood sprayed in a dark arc, too bright against the stone. The body collapsed, and Perseus didn't flinch. He had already opened the satchel given to him by the gods and caught her head inside it, quickly, carefully, as if he were trapping a star. No one should ever look directly. Not even in death. The room didn't shake. There was no thunder, just the faint, dreadful quiet that follows when something wrong has been done too perfectly. Then, a sound like a beast inhaling sharply. Stheno, Uriel, waking. Their eyes snapped open, their mouths twisted into rage. And now Perseus moved. Would you like to see how he flies? The first scream didn't come from Perseus, it came from Stheno. A howl, low and ragged, the sound of something losing the last thing it loved. Then Uriel joined her, higher, sharper, a sound that could cut skin. And the cave, once still, moved. The air trembled, the stone cracked, and Perseus ran. He didn't fight, didn't turn to strike. He knew better than to face two Gorgons, awake and furious. Instead, he leapt. The sandals caught the air beneath him, and he rose like the moment before a storm breaks. They lunged, claws slashed through space just behind his heels. One caught the edge of his cloak, tore it clean. But he was already ascending, lifting fast, faster than wings, faster than breath. The satchel was tight at his side, the head inside it pulsed with the last traces of divine fury. He didn't dare open it. Stones fell behind him. The sisters screamed again, this time not in grief, but in promise. They would find him. They would hunt him. They would never forgive. But they couldn't fly. And he was already above the cave, breaking through the edge of cloud and sky where only gods and birds dared pass. He didn't look back. That, I think, is what saved him. If he had turned, even once, even to see what he had done, they might have caught him in memory alone. But no. He flew, higher, farther, away. The sea below shimmered like a sheet of metal. The desert sprawled, the islands blurred, and only when the screams were nothing more than wind did Perseus let out a breath, alive, but not untouched. Victory doesn't always feel like it should, not when you've stolen life from something that once dreamed. Do you want to know what he thought? Up there, all alone? Come, I'll show you. The sky above him was vast, not blue, not golden, just endless. The kind of sky that doesn't care if you're a hero. The wind cooled his face. The sandals hummed beneath his feet, steady, faithful. The satchel bumped lightly at his side. He didn't look at it. He wouldn't. Not now, not later. Even with her eyes closed, Medusa's face would never stop staring back. Instead, Perseus looked forward. At nothing. At everything. He had done it. The impossible task. The boast made in a moment of pride now fulfilled. A monster slain, a head taken, a name that would echo in the halls of kings and bards. But in that moment, in the sky above all of it, Perseus felt no joy, only stillness. I remember how his hand clenched the strap of the satchel, knuckles white. Not with fear, not even with sorrow, with weight. Because this is the part of the story no one sings about. The stillness after. He had killed something that had once wept. He had touched a place even gods turned from. And now he was flying with a head full of serpents and a silence that didn't leave. Not every victory feels like a triumph. Some just change the air around you. He flew on, over the sea, over forgotten ruins, over cliffs that once held temples to gods who don't speak anymore. And far below, somewhere in the sand, a drop of blood fell. Would you like to see what it touched? It's not the end, just the next beginning. The drop was small. It slipped from the satchel, just one bead of blood, darker than ink, heavier than truth. It struck the sand below, and the world shifted. Not with sound, not with tremor, with becoming. From that blood, her blood, rose something the world had never seen. First came wings, not feathered but forged in light, then hooves, white, clean, silent. Pegasus, born from death, born into sky, he rose like breath held too long, like memory escaping its prison. And he did not wait for Perseus. He did not bow or circle or cry. He flew away, and from the same place, her blood, her death, came something else. Not winged, not gentle. Cressor, we'll speak of him soon. For now, let me only say this. Not everything born of pain grows wings. Perseus didn't see it. Not yet. He flew west, the satchel warm at his side, the silence of the gods trailing close behind him. And on the edge of the world, a figure waits beneath the sky, one too vast to fall, one too proud to kneel, one who bears a burden even the stars cannot carry. His name is Atlas, and he will not like what Perseus brings. But that is next time. When the blood dries, when the sky shifts, when stone remembers what it once was, I'll meet you there. Much love. I am Harmonia. Oh, before you go, one more thing. Traveler, if you enjoyed our time together in the halls of Olympus, there's a gift you can give in return. Just a little thing. Leave a 5-star rating and share this podcast with a friend or whisper it to the wind. The gods love a good rumor. And if you're curious about the mortal world, its twists, its triumphs, its tangled histories, come find me in my other podcast, History's Arrow. There, we follow the path of humanity, one story at a time. Until next time, Walk wisely, speak kindly, and never underestimate the power of a good story. Your friend, Harmonia. This podcast sails out to you from Red Buoy Media, LLC. The stories we share are licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, share-alike 4.0 international. That means you can pass them along, remix them, and even argue with them. Just give us credit, don't try to sell them, and share responsibly. Thanks for listening, friend. Until our next adventure.